Mark, go ahead and unmute your microphone when you're ready.
Mark, can you hear us? Mark, one more time. Mark, can you hear us? Okay, Mark, can you hear us? All right, Chris, go down to the next one. We'll come back to Mark again.
Deb Drywa, go ahead and unmute your microphone when you're ready.
Hi, it's Mark and Deb Drywa from Arlington Avenue. On the last meeting, you mentioned about, and I've heard this several times, about, I guess, one person who installed a $28,000 system that failed 8 years later. What I haven't heard about that system is, why did it fail? Was it installed correctly? Was the right system installed for the number of residents and bathrooms? And was it maintained properly? That we haven't heard. Or nothing we're not hearing, folks that have sewers, I'm sure they're having issues too. Anybody have any feedback on that? You know, I'm sure grinding pumps are breaking. We haven't heard any stuff like that at all. And then the last question I have is what I've brought up a few times is, curious to know why we're being charged, why we changed from paying by how much frontage we have to having the overall cost divided by 900 residents equally. I think, Ed, on the last call, you mentioned that Councilman Sinapi has some folks in his area that are still waiting for sewers. I'm curious to see on how they are paying. Are they paying by frontage, or was the lump sum divided by the number of residents that needed our sewers? If we're going to divide it equally, that means if I have 50 feet of frontage and one bathroom, I pay the same cost as someone that has 150 feet of frontage with three bathrooms. That really doesn't sound fair to me. I would appreciate an answer to that, to this last question I asked last time, and I didn't get an answer.
Okay, Mark, so I'll answer that question for you right now. The previous way of doing the sewer assessment was just what you said. It was based on the frontage. And that was extremely unfair. And the rationale and the reasoning for that is because you could have two identical properties, same amount of bedrooms, same amount of bathrooms on a half acre lot. I'm just using it as an example. And depending upon the shape of your lot, you might have 50 feet of frontage or you might have 100 feet of frontage. The use on the septic system, I'm sorry, on the sewers was essentially the same. And the overall objection to the assessment over the years was the frontage assessment being very unfair. When the enabling legislation was promulgated and passed unanimously by the city council and also passed by the General Assembly in, I believe it was 2016, it changed that assessment to be the overall total cost of the sewer system divided by the amount of properties. And that is what seems to be the fairest of all assessments. The other way, there were some people who were getting an assessment because they happened to be on a corner lot with a street in the front and a street in the back. They may have ended up with an assessment for all three lengths. I know I had some people in my ward, one in particular I'm thinking of, had an assessment for the frontage and for the sideline of her house because she happened to be on a corner lot. And that is very unfair. So that's where the reasoning came for the change in the enabling legislation that was approved by the city council and by the General Assembly.
Councilman Sinapi, how is it for your folks? He took me off.
Everybody's going to be the same on that, Mark, because that's the way the enabling legislation is written, whether it be Councilman Sinapi and O'Donnell's Hill, whether it be Councilman Cawley in the Governor Francis area. I think there's a couple of areas in Councilman Sinapi's ward. That is the way the assessment is going to be done based upon the enabling legislation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your call, Mark. Okay, next one.
Cliff, please unmute your microphone when you're ready.
Yes, hi, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Identify yourself for the record, please.
Cliff Morin.
Yes, hi, Cliff.
How you doing tonight?
Good.
Thank
How are
you for taking my call. The reason I was calling in, I'm looking to purchase a piece of property in that area. And judging by my mortgage company, they won't give me a loan because there's a cesspool there. So I was just wondering how all this impacts somebody who's looking to maybe purchase or even sell their house with a cesspool that doesn't have sewers on the street.
So, you know, therein lies one of the significant problems, Cliff. It's a very good point, too, because A, cesspools have been outlawed by the state of Rhode Island. They are no longer legal anywheres, and there is the cesspool phase-out law that has been passed by the General Assembly, which means everyone on a cesspool is going to have to make a change. You're not going to be allowed to stay on that cesspool. In the area of Bayside 1, 2, and 3, we have 44 homes, and this information comes from DEM, at least 44 homes that are within 200 feet of the water. They are mandated to get off of that cesspool. So because the Warwick City Council passed the bond in 2013, December 2013, to move forward with a revenue bond to get the sewers installed, DEM has been working with the city in extending another deferment from 2013 to 2020 against enforcement on removing people from those cesspools or from a failed septic system. So you're certainly not the first one to bring that point up, that a bank will not, and I'm not saying all banks, I'm saying I've heard this from many people, that in looking to purchase a home, the banks would not provide a mortgage for the home if it was on a cesspool, and they would only do so if the home was either connected to the sewer system, if it were there, or they required, as a matter of fact, the law requires that any house that is transferred must come off a cesspool and must put in a septic system. So in that case, you're going to have to either pay for that on your own, or you're going to have to negotiate it into the cost of the house, which obviously is going to reduce the purchase price or the sale price of the house. And when you do purchase the home, you are going to have to make a commitment to put in a septic system if there are no sewers there.
And then still have to pay for the sewer.
All right, thank you, sir.
Okay, but I'm gonna just comment on that a little bit further. So the other thing that we did in the enabling legislation, and I'm not going to repeat everything that was discussed at the previous meeting, but we will get back into it at some point. If in your case, Mr. Morin, if you were to purchase that house and if you put in a septic system, you would have, because of the enabling legislation that the City Council passed and the General Assembly passed, you would have 20 years of useful life on that septic system before you receive the assessment. So we do not have a connect capable fees, and we do not have mandatory connections for sewers. I don't agree with those, but nonetheless, that's where it is. There is no mandatory connection, and there is no connect capable fees. So you would not be receiving the assessment for the sewers until the septic system reached the term, the time frame of 20 years. Okay, we do have some other hands raised. Chris, if you could.
Barry, go ahead and unmute your microphone when you're ready.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. I first wanted to address...
Excuse me, could you please identify yourself?
Mary Medeiros, Warwick.
Thank you.
Sure. I wanted
Hi, Mary, go ahead.
Remind all of us that this is the Finance Committee that we're talking to. And since it's the Finance Committee that we're talking to, I am assuming, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you're working towards sound financial decisions to best serve the city. So when I think about what the city is, I think about the parts of the city, the roads, the buildings, the parks, the houses, the emergency responding departments. And then I think about why we have all those, why we need all those, why you need to make sound financial decisions regarding those. Because we wouldn't need any of them if we didn't have people. So it's the people that you are making the sound decisions for. And making the best financial choice for your city is making the choice for your people. Regarding the sewers and what we should be doing to protect our bay, to help our fishermen, and to keep any other further burdens on our already fractured sewer authority and pipes under our city, I want you to think about what is possible in 2020. I'm wondering if you have looked at the revised list of approved alternative wastewater treatment systems that the DEM just put out as of August 31st, 2020. And I'd also like to remind people what the DEM representative said to us when we talked to him, which was the best way that your elected officials could be helping is to get a bill passed for the storm drain runoff, for the waterfront properties that are using pesticides, lawn chemicals, et cetera, because that's what's harming the bay, not a properly functioning septic system. And in 2020, there are so many alternatives to this huge price with unknown variables. I mean, the Norwego treatment, if you've ever been to New Hampshire or Maine or Massachusetts and seen all those quaint little cottages sitting 50 feet from the beautiful lakefronts, they're not polluted and they're all on septics. Then there's the Elgin system. Then there's the, what's the other one called? The other big one? All right, I'll let that go. If we only had an assessment of $25,000, because this is the Finance Committee and you're doing everything you can to make sound decisions, the $25,000 assessment, and we all know it's going to be more, at a 3.94% interest rate times 30 years, when somebody threw out rather arrogantly, it's only $120, $150 a month, to the woman that I met a couple weekends ago on a $1,200 fixed income. I thought that was really insolent. That amount for just the assessment is $42,480 that you would either burden yourself with or reduce up the sale price of your house. And to say that someone has 20 years off their septic and they toss the word free around is irresponsible, because it's not free, it's deferred. Same with the hardship, it's a deferment. It's not a reduction in cost. For the people who are uninformed that say I won't tie up, then a lien goes on their property and that means no credit. So if they needed to buy a car, or God forbid someone in their family had a huge health issue, they would not be able to take a credit card to pay for those potentially high copays for a cancer treatment, et cetera. And with all the alternatives that we have now in 2020, it is not socially responsible to say you have to have a sewer, because you're not caring about your which is now 315 constituents that have signed the petition, you're not caring enough about the burden being put on them for the cost of the assessment, the cost of the e-grinder, the cost of the hookup with all of the loans associated with that. So I'm asking you, you fought to get the bike rack fixed at Lippitt Park for the handful of constituents. I'm asking you to care enough to look at the alternatives. It does not have to be sewers. There can be a regulation put in place that every 3 years, every 2 years, every 5 years, your septic has to show proof that it's working. You could give an incentive to the people to get off cesspools. Like you gave an incentive to the people up in Warwick Neck, 40% reduction they were going to get. The incentive you were trying to give to Governor Francis to get them to hook up to sewers. We can work on this just like Senator Raptakis did for his constituents in Coventry with the sewer issues. And I'm asking you to please consider the alternatives, because what you're trying to shove down people's throats is limiting your success as a leader in this city. And it's limiting our opportunity to stay here. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mary. Next, let's try Mark Genest again. Chris?
Go ahead, Mark. When you're ready, please unmute.
Please, dear God, tell me you can hear me now.
Mark, we can hear you.
All right. I apologize. I don't know what happened.
Okay. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you. First of all, thank you to the City Committee. I really recognize all the hard work that you put into this and all the other matters. So thank you very much. Even though we don't agree on this particular issue, I have a hell of a lot of respect for all of you. Let me begin by saying that I spent most of the afternoon speaking with a wonderful individuals at the Warwick Sewer Authority, and they've been spectacular. And I really have to compliment them on the wonderful way that they are very willing to give very specific information and answer questions. I spent about almost 3 hours on the phone with them, and I learned more from speaking with WSA Today than I have in the 7 years that I've been attending meetings all over the city on this issue. So they're really wonderful. The new leadership at WSA is spectacular. What I learned is that the good news, and Ed, you'll be very happy with this, is according to them, repaving roads and the initial cost of the e-pump and installation are always included in every one of their sewer estimates. So when we look at the estimates that they're talking about, it is inclusive of the pump and repaving roads.
Mark, I'm aware of that. I know that.
No, I know. I'm just saying, well, a lot of people aren't. This is the first time that information has been available in terms of both the paving and the e-pump.
That's one of my objections. I'm going to throw that in there, is the cost of the roads. I've been objecting to that for 8 years. The cost of the roads should not be part of the sewer assessment. That is something that should be paid for. The roads should be paid for by all the taxpayers.
And WSA said, Ed, was that it is part of their initial assessment, that cost is put into it. So the number that he gave me, around 27,000 for a realistic assessment, and that's before the natural 15% rise in commodities costs. But that he includes the paving as well.
Mark, he gave you a price of 27,000.
He gave me a price of anywhere between 25,000 and 27,500, but he said that number's bound to go up because the price of commodities goes up and because of the vagaries of the drilling process that it invariably goes up.
I find that number, I'm concerned with where he got that number or they got the number, because the bid that the sewer authority awarded was for $18 million. There are 900 properties in Bayside 1, 2, and 3, and that works out to $20,000 per property, which includes the roads and includes a grinder pump. So I don't know where this jumps up to these other numbers.
What he told me, Ed, is that the price of phase 3 for Governor Francis was 24.5 per household. But this one, he said, by the time it goes through, it is very unlikely to be any less than 27,000. And it's likely because of the ledge and the Native American artifacts that it could be considerably more.
Okay.
But I mean, again, he said, and to be honest with you, he said that no one really can tell you the exact price because no one can predict the kinds of problems that they may or may not, you know, come across. But and also that price doesn't include the bond interest rate that has to be calculated into the yearly bill of homeowners. So like the previous speaker, like Mary said, the cost that we were able to come up with is about $145 to $167 per month to pay for the $27,000 assessment. Then you add that does not include the hookup price, which according to WSA, from two people at WSA, it's between $3,500 to $7,500, depending on your house, depending on you know, any problems that they have with regard to that. They did promise they would try to do their best to do the drilling as close to the house as possible to keep the price down. Then you add the yearly sewer fee, which is approximately $650 monthly. You're talking about a yearly cost to the household of approximately $3,000 a year.
Did you say that the average sewer bill per homeowner was going to be $600 a month?
Over $650, and that was from two people.
Yeah, the same month.
Yeah. I'm sorry, forgive me, Ed. You're right. It's $650 a year. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, because I've got my sewer bills in front of me right now for my house, and my sewer bill for this previous year, for the entire year, was $403. My water bill for the entire year, which included water and sewer, was $648. So I don't know where some of these numbers are coming from. I think I have a modest home. It's not small. It's not large. It's actually a condominium. And that's what my yearly water bill is, $648. The sewer portion of that bill is $403. So I agree with a lot of the people that the numbers that being disseminated out there are far from accurate. I agree.
Well, but this is coming from the WSA. And the interim director. So I would think if anyone has a better grasp of the exact numbers, and I have to tell you, Earl was wonderful. He was just concerned with giving as many facts as he could. And he did say that all of these things were estimates and that he was answering my questions to the very best of his ability. But I would think that anybody of all the people in the city, that the interim director would be the one that we could rely on most. So given his numbers, the yearly cost to a household is about $3,000, give or take $200 one way or the other. And then you have to add into the pumps. We have a one-year warranty on the E1 pump. And so if they break within 5 or 6 years, which is not an uncommon thing, that's an additional $4,000. So over 30 years, if you're lucky, you have to replace them twice. So that comes to $8,000. So if you look at the amount of the loan that people will have to take into account the assessment fee, the hookup fees, and all, and the yearly $650 fee for sewers, you're talking about an extraordinary amount of money. And I might add that Rhode Island's unemployment is the second highest in the country right now, that the median income for the Bayside area is about $66,000 for a household, not per capita, but per household. So if you add a $3,000 cost to Warwick residents in the Bayside area per year, you're going to create a lot of hardship, particularly because people are furloughed, the unemployment rate is going up. And I know that this system is going to be 2 or 3 years, but part of my training in graduate school was econometrics and economics. And my economist friends in Washington, D.C., I actually called them, are predicting 3 to 5 years before we can get out of this this recession that we're into right now. So you're talking about a weak state economically that is among the weakest in the country. So this is going to be a long-term problem for all of us. So I would ask you to put this into consideration and look perhaps at alternative viewpoints. And again, I know the city committee is doing what it thinks it's best. And I know all of you have the best interests of the people at heart. I think here, though, you have a conflict between what the people think is in their best interest and what some members of the committee think is in the best interest of the people. If this is going to be a good thing for the state of Rhode Island and the Bay, then we have to double down, get Mayor Solomon or his predecessor to work to getting the state to get us bond issues, to get our congressional delegation together, to help subsidize the cost, which in the past, in the early stages of stages one and two for Governor Francis, it is my understanding and an understanding of WSA that there were bond issues that helped subsidize the cost. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to speak with you. I really appreciate all the hard work you do on our behalf.
Thank you, Mark. And you're absolutely right. Way back, the federal government was subsidizing 60% of the sewer projects. And initially, the first bond that was passed was $130 million bond. And that was, I believe, in the 70s. And that was a general obligation bond where everyone in the city, all taxpayers, paid for the sewers. There was a 60% federal subsidy to do that. And I think there may have been also a stipend from the city. There was also a $50 million general obligation bond passed in addition to the 130, which was supposed to complete the sewers. And that did not happen. And that was a general obligation bond as well. So we have one more person. Thank you, Mark. We have one more person up here, Chris.
Pauline, go ahead and unmute your microphone when you're ready.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Pauline. Go ahead. Okay. Just identify yourself for the record, please.
Pauline Genest, Katy Avenue, Warwick.
Okay.
I am late to the table, and everything that has been said, I concur with, as far as I think right now the project costs are just too expensive for the residents to bear, and it's completely socially unjust to push this project at this time. My opinion hasn't changed. Like Mark said, we were on the phone for many hours today getting lots of great information. No one is saying that the people who are working toward it are not doing the best that they believe they can. I just think it's the wrong time, and I just want to be put on record that that's how I feel.
Thank you, Pauline.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Thank you. You as well. We have three more attendees. Go ahead, Chris.
Caller with number ending in 8487, please unmute when you're ready.
Yes, Ed. Hello? Roger Duran.
Yes, hi, Roger.
Ed, first and foremost, let me say something. You can't be accused of not notifying everyone in the city of Warwick that you wanted sewers in Bayside. I remember attending meetings at the Sewer Review Board and whatnot back in 2013. So I want to tip my hat to you in that respect. Everyone was notified. You know where I stood on the issue, Ed? You and I had many disagreements, and we still disagree with reference to the sewers. I disagreed in 2013. But having said that, I was at the meeting when the bond issue was passed initially. Refresh my memory. How much was for construction in Governor Francis Phase 3 in Bayside? How much was that total bond issue?
Well, it was six areas that were included in the bond. We passed the $56 million bond. $23 million. $23 was for the sewer authority infrastructure, and $33 million was for the remainder, or I should say, for those, I believe it was six areas that were identified for sewers. Of those six areas, $17 million was identified, if I remember the number correctly, $17 million was identified for Bayside 1, 2, and 3.
That is correct. O'Donnell Hill was one of the projects and whatnot. But here's my concern, and I was listening to the commentary here tonight. Governor Francis Phase 3 was initially projected to cost $17,000. Those are the handouts which were given out in 2013. That was the night of the World Series for the Red Sox. And the handouts were given out to this limited amount of people that showed up. Too bit more people didn't come that night. Again, the projection for Governor Francis Phase 3 was in the $17,000 to $19,000 category. I just heard somebody mention the final bill was $24,500. It concerns me, and you know, you and I, Ed, have had this discussion at City Hall. We've had it up at the State House. I'm not convinced the WSA can control their budget. Governor Francis Phase 3 is another example of mismanagement that took place in Governor Francis Phase 3. So let's fast forward now to Bayside. I have a copy of a handout which was distributed by taxpayers, myself being one, in Bayside back in 2013. I remember walking Katie Avenue and the like. There was probably 20 of us. We had notified the residents over there. Number one, the meeting was going to take place in October to get over to the meeting. Number two, it was going to cost, we projected $25,000. The cost for the sewers. So this is not new what happened here. This was in 2013. Everyone was notified. But what my concern is this. We're now talking $25,000 to $27,000. I heard somebody just mention that during the discussion. But there's too many variables. I don't know a project that the WSA ever came in on budget or under budget. Governor Francis, by the way, let me just correct something that was just said. Governor Francis Phase 2 was not subsidized by anything. We paid for the entire cost. So there was no handout from the federal government, state, or whatever. But the reality of the situation is the WSA has not, to the best of my knowledge, besides Governor, there were two projects out of the 12 that preceded us. Governor Francis and I think the project over Strawberry Field Road were the only ones that were on budget. The other 10 weren't, to the tune of $12 million. So before you go ahead with this, and I personally think it is going to be a financial hardship. I told you that in 2013, Ed. You remember my testimony. But I think before, if you were to proceed with this, which I'm not in favor of, but that's beside the point, I think you got to button down these costs a lot more. With the WSA, with the Amber and everything else. Otherwise, I could see this ballooning beyond 27,000 very easily. That's number one. Number two, what we used to tell people, and it's a good rule of thumb, take out your water bill today and times it times three. That's usually what it's going to cost you once you connect to the sewers. The point, and I don't know if this was brought up tonight, Ed, did anybody take into consideration a deduct meter? Is that part of the cost that's going to be considered here? Is that part of the calculation that the people are talking about?
Are you asking me that?
Yes.
No. To my knowledge, the deduct meter is additional.
Correct. And I've been quoted for a deduct meter. Yeah, that's about $1,000 more too, which somebody has to have because you don't want to pay the extra water charge. So my point is this, before you proceed ahead, and again, Ed, you've been transparent on this since 2013, 2012. Nobody can accuse you of not being transparent because you and I fought many times at the Sewer Review Commission meetings as well as the State House. But the reality of the situation is before you go forward on this, and not just you, I'm talking to city council and the like, I think people, and you should button down the WSA, no more of this. We think it's going to cost. We don't know. It was almost like that $7 million project a couple weeks ago. You got to have a firm cost because these people are going to, if you decide to go ahead, the city decides to go ahead, this is going to be a heck of a hardship. And they have to know what they're getting into. So thank you, Ed, for your time.
Thank you, Roger. Before we go to the next speaker, I would just like to just comment on one thing. I think Mr. Duran actually hit the nail on the head, and it's my point exactly. The longer that we wait to do this, and the longer we kick this can down the road, the more the costs are going to be. It was talked earlier about someone in Washington saying in 3 to 5 years, et cetera, et cetera. In 3 to 5 years, these costs are going to increase beyond belief. Roger, and I believe his numbers are accurate, in 2013, the number for Governor Francis Phase 3 was 17 to 19. Had the project been completed in 2013 or 14 or maybe even 15, they would have probably been very close. Here we are completing them in, I believe it was 2019 when they were completed, and they increased to 24,000. My point exactly. For me, the math in Bayside 1, 2, and 3 isn't 27, 30,000. The math is 20,000 with the $18 million bond, and certainly we know that that's going to have an exclamation increase. I could see 25,000. But the point is this. There are 77%. This isn't my information. This is DEM's information. 77% of the 900 properties in Bayside, that is 693 properties, are currently using antiquated cesspools. 42 of those properties are within 200 feet of the water. So, yeah, you're right. I'm very, very concerned with the cost that all of those people are going to bear. The costs are going to be borne in either a septic system, if you can put them in those areas. And if you can, the costs are going to be at least equal of the sewers, and you have to pay for it up front, or you have to get a home equity loan or a home improvement loan. And if you don't have a job and you don't have any credit, yes, I'm very concerned with those folks in how are they going to be able to pay for the septic system. Let's take the next one, Chris. We have we have two more people who have not spoken. We do need to continue on with this meeting. I will be holding this. I did want to have anyone who did not have an opportunity to speak at the last meeting to speak at this meeting. So I will take the last two people who have not spoken yet this evening. Chris, would you unmute Christopher Hamblett, I believe it is.
Mr. Hamblett, please go ahead and unmute when you're ready.
Mr. Hamblett, can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
Thank you, Councilman. For everyone on the call, members of the Council and the Finance Committee, my name's Topher Hamblett. I'm with Director of Advocacy with Save the Bay. I also served on the Warwick Sewer Authority Review Commission with Councilman Lattiser, and we dealt with a lot of these issues that we're talking about tonight. I want to drive home a point that was made early on by Councilman Lattiser, and that is that cesspools are a major source of pollution. They do not treat waste. The fact that there are so many cesspools in Bayside is an environmental problem and probably a public health problem too. There is indeed a state law, the Cesspool Phase-Out Act, which requires by now cesspools to be replaced with a septic system or a sewer tie-in within 1 year of a property being sold. The point of all this, though, is to keep pollution from entering the groundwater, entering Narragansett Bay. So I'm not going to get into talks about contracts tonight, but I just urge everyone, including the City Council, including the mayor, including the WSA, to keep your eyes on the goal here, which is to end pollution to Narragansett Bay. Communities throughout Rhode Island, including Providence, Pawtucket, Central Falls, are all doing this because it needs to be done. It has to be done. And we stand ready to work with the city to help make that happen. Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you, Topa. And the last hand up is Chris, could you release that one, please?
Lois Graydon, please feel free to unmute when you're ready.
Yes, hi.
Hi, hello, Lois. Ed,
and
hi, Lois.
Thank you for taking this call, and I know you've worked many years on attempting to get sewers in Riverview area, Bayside. I've been, as you mentioned, I've been involved in this for many years, and I'm still opposed to sewers. Yes, I'm totally in favor of sewers. Certainly don't want the bay to be polluted, but at the same time, I don't want to give up my house so that other people might enjoy the benefits of sewers. It's really unfair for us in Bayside to bear this burden. You know, I, as I said, I go back with Roger a long way. I've been at these sewer meetings. I've been at City Hall. And I actually just kind of gave up just because I was so discouraged. I don't think that the answer is to tell people, and I know you're very anxious to get this done, the sewers and how important they are for the bay. I don't think there's anybody on this call that will dispute that. But the fact of the matter is, and I know you're thinking, well, if we don't get this done, it's going to mean that people are going to be, you know, hit with a larger bill down the road. But what you have to understand is that there are people right now, if this goes into effect, will be not able to stay, will be unable to stay in their homes. And you heard the statistics. You're talking about people that are low to middle income that are on barely making it as it is, and they just can't stay in their house if they're going to have to pay for these types of bills. So it's really unfair, and I also want to go on record, there must be something else that we can do. I mean, if you look at some of the, when I go onto the sites for Warwick, and I see how the tax assessor has very neatly defined all of these plots of lands and how detailed they are. We should be able to be given a price for what, by house, for what this is going to cost. And if that's not the case, we're the last on the line here. The city, we should be given as residents, okay, $25,000. That's it. And the city picks up the rest of the bill. I think it's really unfair to the residents of Bayside. Thank you.
And Lois, for the record, I agree with you on your last statement. I think there should be a cap put on it. And I think that the federal government needs to step up to the plate and help out the city of Warwick complete the sewer project. It's been a very long struggle in getting to where we are now. And the fact of the matter is, these costs have increased significantly. I've said it 100 times, I'm gonna say it again. They are not going down, period. They're going to continue to go up. If you happen to be one of the unfortunate people that end up on that septic system that fails and you have to replace it, that is gonna be, that's gonna be very painful. To say the least, I don't know how I can drive that point home. And it's gonna be worse for someone that is not able to get a loan to pay for it. That is going to be forced out of your house because you're not gonna be able to continue to stay on forever in a house that has a failed septic system or a failed cesspool. So yes, I agree with you. I think the number should be capped. I think the cost of the roads should be removed from that budget, unequivocally removed. It's unconscionable to have the recipients of the sewers pay for the roads twice, and roads they've been denied for 25, 30 years. And I certainly reach out and beg our Washington folks to come up with a funding formula and a subsidy to get the sewer project completed in the city of Warwick. Thank you for your comments, Lois. Okay.
Looks like we have two more councilmen. I think we've heard from Mark Genest. There's also a Barbara Richman.
Okay, Barbara Richman.
Go ahead, Barbara, unmute when you're ready.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I just have one question, and that is there any reason why another sewer bond can't be passed to help offset the cost to the homeowners?
Barbara, that is a very good question. There is, let me put it to you this way. There is the process for doing that, to get a general obligation bond, that would require an action on the city council to go to the General Assembly to get the approval from the General Assembly to put it on the ballot. That could be done. Right now, approximately 60% of the city is sewered. 40% of the city is not. It's actually probably a little more than 40 is not. So when you constantly hear, I paid for mine, I'm not paying for yours, it's highly unlikely that a general obligation bond would be approved. Not to say that it couldn't be attempted. Anything is certainly possible to attempt.
Why don't we attempt it then?
I'm sorry?
I think we should attempt it. What have we got to lose?
We can certainly do that. And I will go ahead and move forward with that.
Thank you.
Okay, Chris, Mark Genest is back here again. I know he had some problems connecting before. Is this Mark Genest again wanting to speak, or is it someone else in his home that wants to speak?
It's hard to tell, Councilman. Would you like me to allow to talk?
Unmute him. We're going to take, this is the last call we're taking. Go ahead.
Mark, go ahead and unmute when you're ready.
Thank you. I just have one quick point. Are you aware that the contract with the AMBRA is not public and it won't be available to the public until after, if the mayor signs it? So this is going to be a fait accompli that we won't be able to actually review the contract prior to the contract actually being accepted.
Mark, text me your email address and I'll get you a copy of the contract.
Oh, great. Because I asked, WSA doesn't even have a copy.
They what?
WSA told me they don't even have a copy.
Interesting. Okay.
Thank you very much. Have a nice evening.
Thank you. You as well. Okay. We are going to close public comment. I am going to make a motion to put, let's get back to, okay. PCR 8120. I'm going to make a motion to put it into the pending file.
Second.
Who seconded that? Councilman McAllister? Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to put it in the pending file. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Thank you very much. An excellent discussion. And I want to thank all of the people that called in, took the time to voice your opinions on this. And it's also refreshing to see that, you know, people can agree to disagree without getting into shouting matches and some other things. So I can assure all of my constituents in Bayside, I am going to continue to do everything I possibly can to get these sewers completed at the most economical price possible and to do everything I can in my due diligence to put in all the safeguards that we can. And I will continue to be out there looking for additional sources of revenue to help us take care of you and take care of the environment that everyone is so readily happy and available to speak to. Next item, PCR 8620. Okay, consent calendar bids. We defer to Council Solicitor. Is that what we're going to be going into? No, sorry?
You did those? With
that, right? I took those before.
Okay. You did. So very good. Thank you. Done.
Thank you. PCO 17-20, an ordinance regarding vendor procurement. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very quickly, just to remind everyone, this is the ordinance for concerning Warwick businesses bidding and having qualified bidders. If they are within 7% of the lowest bid, they may be considered for the bid. I request second passage. Thank you.
Councilman Howe, just bear with me here. I correct me if I'm wrong, but I know I had requested and you accepted to sign on as a co-sponsor with you on
this. I believe the entire council did. Yes, sir.
Is it listed on the...
Yes, it is. On it the is.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, thank
Sorry.
You. All right, so let the record indicate that all members of the City Council are co-sponsoring this with Councilman Howe. He is respectfully requesting second passage. Any other questions from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
Thank you very much. I just want to commend Councilman Howe for taking the lead on this. This is a pro-business, pro-Warwick business legislation. We've been sitting on the council, the finance committee, for almost 4 years now, Councilman Howe and I, and we've been talking about this. We're trying to make we want more Warwick businesses to bid. We want more Warwick businesses to be involved with the city. And I believe this is an ordinance that will help with that. Again, if they are a qualified bidder, we want them here. So this is a great piece of legislation, and it's a really a pro-business piece of legislation. I commend Councilman Howe for bringing this to us. I thank him for allowing me and the rest of us to co-sign it as well. And I just commend your work on this. This was a top issue for you from day one, and I'm glad to see that you're continuing to do this. So congratulations. This is a great piece of legislation. I look forward to it getting second passage tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman.
Well said, Councilman McAllister, and I echo those sentiments as well. Any other questions, comments from members of the council? We have any comments from members of the public? Are there any comments from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion. Councilman Oof. McAllister makes the motion. I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Last item, PCR 195-19, a resolution relative to creating a commission to study health insurance benefits. Councilman Sinapi.
Hold to the second meeting in October, please.
Okay. Hold until October 19th at the request of the sponsor. I need a motion.
Motion to hold to the second meeting of October.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. I believe that completes our order of business in the Finance Committee. As of, 8 o'clock, the Finance Committee is adjourned, and I am going to call for a 5-minute recess.